Hi, everyone. It's Peter from Superhost Unveiled. I was so excited about this episode that I actually didn't do really a proper intro. I had the pleasure of speaking with one of the co-founders of Price Labs, and I just geek out through the whole entire hour. And I hope you enjoy it. It's a little techie at some points, but just bear with it. At the end of the episode, towards the end, he really unleashes some nuggets on how to make sure that you're really elevating your price and your occupancy to the highest levels you can without hurting value. So I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. As you know, if you listened to the last couple episodes, are unbelievably excited about today's show. I've talked about their software so many times, and I'm very privileged and honored to have one of the three co-founders on, Anurag Verma. I hope I pronounced your name right. I can't express my gratitude to your company for helping my company be the best it can be from a revenue standpoint, and to, you know, obviously owners need to make money, right? So I think you help us do two things really well, and that's maximize revenue nightly rate and also keep my homes very occupied. So thanks in advance.
Thank you so much, Peter. That was a very, very kind introduction. For everybody who's listening, this is Anurag from Price Labs, one of the three co-founders, like Peter mentioned.
Yeah, so if you could maybe take us back to why in the world did you start Price Labs? Like, how did it all begin? Was it three guys in a garage? You know, why vacation rentals? Did it start out that way? I would really love to hear about it.
Yeah, so somewhat interesting from that perspective. I used to work at United Airlines building pricing algorithms there. So United Airlines and all airlines use they have large teams of data scientists and then a lot of revenue managers that sort of manage each market that an airline flies and see how prices should fluctuate up or down depending on all kinds of factors. While I was doing this is in Chicago, one of my undergrad friends was doing his MBA at Northwestern University at Kellogg. And his roommate was leaving over the summer for an internship. So he had a spare room. And at that point, this is 6 years back, Airbnb was still put up your spare room kind of a thing. Like, that was pretty common. So he did. And as he was doing, he realized there was no guidance from Airbnb on how to set prices. Also, it wasn't easy to even figure out what's high season. Like, he was new to Chicago. And of course, we all know summer in Chicago should be high season, right? Just because nobody wants to come here in winter. But then he was like, okay, what's summer? Like, is it July, August? Is it the shoulder months as well? Like, he's like, how do I even get to do any of this? So he and I got talking about that, and we were like, hey, looks like a lot of people should be having this problem, and we should look at solving this, right? And I'm a data scientist. He's sort of the business guy. And you're like, okay, we have a problem. We kind of know the math behind it. We kind of needed a third engineer to actually make everything work. So we looked in our network and found somebody who used to work at Orbitz at that point. So he had travel tech experience as an engineer. So we got together, started hashing out sort of the first version of this in 2014. Put it out, initially launched it just for Chicago because that's sort of the local market. And then a few months later, had enough going on that we launched it sort of worldwide. So opened it up to sort of anywhere you are, doesn't matter. You can, as long as there are other Airbnbs around you, other vacation rentals around you, you should be able to use this. And then, yeah, the response from, like, since then, it's been a journey of learning things from our customers. So of course, we started with very little background. Like, we started as Airbnb hosts, right? Like, pretty much you can say that. But since then, we have interacted with, I don't know, thousands of them in some ways to figure out, like, what's the problem that they are facing. So anytime, like, we had multiple people say, hey, this is something I wish this could be automated, like in their pricing strategy or their minimum stay strategy. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, let's figure out how to solve for that. And that's, it's been an evolutionary process over the last 6 years to where it is. And it continues to be the same process, right? Like, we're still getting plenty of feedback from our customers on what can improve, how it should improve, and things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, I feel like you're on a never ending journey. I feel like it's all, you're always going to have to, you know, grow to stay with the times and technology changing and all that stuff. So,
again, going back to, like, airlines have been doing pricing, dynamic pricing, for 40 odd years, right? And they've had fairly sophisticated software doing this for, like, the last 20 years. But even then, like, there is still so much to do on that front. And it doesn't matter that 20 years worth of work has gone in. Yeah. As time evolves, more, like, more data sources become possible, right? Like, 20 years back, nobody was scraping, like, all kinds of data from the internet to figure out what kind of seasonal trends or what kind of booking trends exist. Mm-hmm. Now that's happening. And who knows what new data would be available in 5 years that can be used to further improve pricing, right? So it's, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk about your software, but I can't kind of move past a question I have. I mean, here you are working for United Airlines. Is there anything prior to United Airlines? Did you land that job out of college? Because obviously this is very entrepreneurial, you know, building your own company like this. And it's very, you made it sound like, yeah, we just kind of threw this out there to Chicago. And then within a couple of months, we went worldwide. I'm really curious about, and I really didn't anticipate our conversation going this way, but I'm really curious about, so you had your one apartment or your one couch that you were trying to put on Airbnb. You threw it into Chicago. Did it go from you to hundreds? And then you were like, all right, let's go out to the world. And then all of a sudden you became like triple, double. Like, how was the growth, you know, at the beginning?
It was, So we started in Chicago. So once we figured out that we want to build this, we reached out to like Facebook groups over Facebook, reached out to hosts in Chicago to ask if, like, they were interested in trying something like this, right? Like,
I gotcha.
And if yes, then what would it need to do for them to be happy with it in some ways, right? So we started doing it. When we launched, I think we started with about 10 to 15 properties, something like that. So pretty small. And then
you found on a local Facebook group in Chicago.
I can't remember what exactly it was. We somehow managed to find, like, enough hosts to give us some idea of, like, enough hosts in Chicago that, and we went and met some of these folks to really find out, like, okay, is this a problem you also face? Like, we faced it, we know we want to solve it, but if all 10 of them had said that not an issue, we know how to do this, and we would have been like, okay, maybe we are overthinking this, right?
Now, was there any other, because I know there's other players, right? There's two that I can think of off the top of my head that you compete with. I personally have tried a couple and found you guys, like, after kind of failed attempts with, I don't know, maybe it was just not the right fit or my mindset wasn't in the right place. And then you guys came and, you know, changed my life, honestly, from a property management standpoint. So, but back then, like, were you like, hey, it's free, or were you charging right off the rip?
So when we started out, one, like, when we were doing the initial research, it there was nobody else who was doing it.
Okay.
By the time we launched it in Chicago, there were two others who had announced that they'd be doing it. So that also helped, knowing that, okay, it's not just a problem we think is a problem. It's a problem that other people also think is a problem worth solving, right?
Yeah, it's like a concept, right?
Yeah, like it was also like strange that three different groups around the same month decided, yeah, let's do this.
Wow, right? Yeah.
But initially we just had it for free. Like I think for a good year and a half since starting out, it stayed free till we got to a point where we said, okay, this works well enough. We have enough confidence in this to say, yeah, we should charge for this.
Sure. So, all right. So a couple of months go by and you decide you're going to branch out across the country. Was it mostly just US at that point, or?
No, when we did this, we made it so that it works in any geography.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And it so happened that I think a lot of our initial set of customers came from Europe, where I don't know what the exact reason might have been, but in Europe, the vacation rental industry is sort of predated Airbnb even. Like these things used to happen there via booking.com, from way longer. So that way we sort of ended up actually getting a decent amount of properties using Price Labs in Europe as well. So yeah, so it started out pretty much worldwide. Didn't say let's restrict it to the US. We pretty much did everything, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, congratulations, you know, it's really awesome. So, you know, a lot of our listeners are, you know, some are dipping their toes in the water, some are not even having their first property, but they're about to launch like 3 months from now. Why would a single unit operator choose Price Labs? Like, why would that be important in your opinion?
Yeah, so it's dynamic pricing is all about figuring out trends. So if you want to think about it, if somebody has 50 units, I would think of a hotel, right? Right now we are sitting in February, and I know in Chicago in October, there is Chicago Marathon that drives sort of near 100% occupancy at crazy high rates.
Yeah.
But there might be other such events. Like there is before Chicago Marathon, there's Chicago Open House, which not many people know about. Now, if you are hosting and you didn't raise enough your prices enough for those weekends and they get booked, that's sort of the end of the story for you. Like they got booked, whatever rate it was, that's what you get. Mm-hmm. Hotels have it slightly easier. When hotels see that out of their 50 rooms, 5 have gotten booked that far out, they're like, something must be happening. They don't even need to know what's happening. They're like, something is happening. People are booking more than like that far out. Let's raise the rates for the remaining 45 rooms, right? So they have that opportunity to do course correction. Whereas as individual hosts, like that home is all you have in some ways. If for really busy dates, they get booked for cheap, then sure, they get booked for cheap. The other set of it, the other side of it, and this is sort of a structural disadvantage for individual hosts, right? Like where you don't have enough data from 50 properties or 50 rooms, you only have one. The other is hotels or larger property managers can, in some cases, have a revenue manager who's looking. They still use a revenue management system, but they have a person who's looking at this and saying how to change stuff. Whereas in most cases, if you only have one home, you're probably doing it as a side business. You probably have a full-time job and you don't have time to do all the market research all the time. And even if you have done the market research, to then go and make adjustments in the Airbnb calendar, not just for prices, but also for minimum stays, is a painful job. So what you can do, at least from my perspective, is you can automate a lot of this stuff. And then automating doesn't really mean that letting it loose and do whatever it needs to do.
Yeah.
You can still, as a host, go and set a lot of parameters to really fine tune of what you're, if you have the bandwidth to do the research and look at the market data. And we also try to make it easier to not need bandwidth to do market research. You can just look at a dashboard and say, here's my rates, here are my rates, here are my competition's rates. How do the trends look? Do they differ? And then, yeah, set rules, set automation so that changes still happen, but based on how you want them to happen in
some ways. Yeah. Yes. I have, if you're listening and you're not excited about this stuff, there's something wrong with you, because this stuff just makes me excited to talk about.
This podcast is made possible by Price Labs. We love using their dynamic pricing to increase our revenue, keep the OTAs active, and feel confident that our prices reflect the trends driven by data. Stop stressing about pricing your short-term rental and get a $10 credit when you sign up for Price Labs using our link. Go to superhostunveiled.com/promo to use our code.
When I was running my one unit, I was literally doing what you just said. I wasn't smart enough to realize what the trends were going to do. So like in our market, we're in a four season market. It's a drive to destination. We have skiing, but the summer's the busiest time of the year. And I, you know, what happens to an owner in my opinion, and it happened to me, is that we have preconceived highs and I think preconceived lows that we will bump up against because that's what we think our property's worth, right? Mm-hmm. And I think those are dangerous, where if you allow you whatever sophistication you guys put into this, which is obviously pretty intense, to do the work, you can kind of challenge the algorithm, but in my experience with this, I thought I was maximizing my property. I thought I was doing a great job. I left thousands to tens of thousands of dollars on the table prior to Price Labs. I didn't manage, you know, orphan days well. I did, you know, when is school vacation week again? Oh yeah, what do you think that's going to, how much higher is that going to, you know, like keeping track, like you just said, it's intense, you know? So you guys definitely do that. So can you talk about a little bit about if it's 120 days out, I'm going to make it a 5-day booking or, right. And one thing I learned from talking to you guys about this was like, you can see trends of bookings where, yeah, within 30 days, it goes to a 3-day booking, you know, but after that, it might be 4 or 5. So like,
yeah,
I don't know if you can.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So so there are two variables or two things that sort of collide here in some ways. One is the length of stay of a booking. And then the second one is how far out is somebody booking. What we have generally seen in most markets is when people book 6 months out or 8 months out, it's something that they are planning with a lot of people. It requires coordination to book, like if you're booking that far out, yeah, you're probably planning things, yeah, and you're probably planning a longer vacation. Whereas if you're booking for that coming weekend, you're probably making like an impromptu trip where like you don't even have vacation. You're just going for the weekend, or you took a day off or 2 days off to do something very quick. You're not going to tell your tell your workplace that, hey, I'm off next week, all week, right? Yeah. I mean, you generally want to give a little bit more notice to your work to say, hey, I'm off for a week in 3 months, 2 months, whatever. But so far out, people tend to book longer stays. Close in, people tend to book shorter stays. And one of the things we like to think that we pioneered, but truly our customers gave us the ideas, was instead of people setting their minimum stay settings. So a lot of people say, I never want to take anything shorter than 3 nights, for example, which is totally fair. But then a lot of people say, I only want 7-night stays because they help me book like longer chunks at a time. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, you should be able to have best of both the worlds so that when people are booking for your high season, you say, if you're booking far out, let's try and fill it up with longer stays. Let's not book a weekend 6 months out for a two-night stay, whereas somebody else might have booked it for a 5 or 7 night stay. Like, you're, once you book a weekend for 2 night stay, it gets harder to book the Monday or Thursday around it, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But if it stays unbooked, as the date gets closer, keep reducing the minimum stay. So maybe start with 5, then make it 4, then make it 3, then make it 2.
Yeah.
That way you're sort of trying to capture as many longer stays and not leave too many gaps in your calendar.
Yeah.
At the same time, when it's not booked, you for the coming weekend, if you had a 5 night minimum, you probably won't get a booking. Whereas you're saying, hey, let's try and get something.
Yeah. That is exactly, you know, the way I have it set up. And I'm sure that you guys told me to do it that way. Talk about, you know, orphan nights a little bit, because, you know, for us at the beginning, we did 2 days, you know, we didn't go 3, but we would never allow a one night stay. And then over time, for me, that changed. Now, I'm not telling anyone listening that this should be the way you do it, but for us in the mountains, we're not having people drive 3 hours up here to have a party as much as you might have it. Like, if you're in an inner city, you know, I have it set up for aggressive. So if I'm going to book one night, I want it. I set it up as a premium, you know, because I want, if I'm going to book it, I might as well maximize it. But can you talk a little bit about where that came from? And
yeah. So that's, again, as a part of what I was saying about the minimum stays, like, you might set your minimum stay across the board to be 3 nights, for example. And say you get 2 bookings and there are 2 nights in between or a 1 night in between. It either takes too much manual work or you don't do it at all to... Like, if you don't do anything, then those 2 night gaps or 1 night gaps will stay unbooked. Like, there's just no way to book a 2 night gap with a 3 night minimum. The other thing that I know a lot of customers used to do back in 2016 is they would go and say every Monday or every twice a week, they would go and look at all their calendars and see where there's a gap and change the minimum stay of the gap in Airbnb directly, or if they were using a PMS in the PMS to whatever, like a lower minimum stay so that they can get a booking. And as a part of our minimum stay settings where we say, as it gets closer, lower it, what we also check, or we can check, if it's all in your hands in some ways, right? So you can say, I don't want 1 night bookings, but when there's a 2 night gap, make my minimum stay 2 nights.
Right.
Then every day we will auto update that for you. So you don't have to like leave those 2 night gaps open. Or like you don't have to, you know, do those 2 hour long manual setup to say, okay, let's look for all the gaps in my calendar and do this. What we also did then was said, hey, there are some people who said, look, I don't want these 1 night gaps to be booked. But if somebody is willing to pay like twice the normal rate, I'll do it, or 50% more than the normal rate, I'll do it. So then we said, okay, let's have this work in conjunction to say 2 night gaps, sure. A 2 night minimum works at the normal rate. You're open to taking it, but you can say when there's a 1 night gap, make it 1 night minimum, but bump up the rates by 50% so that there is some incentive to take it. Now, again, like you said, this doesn't mean that everybody should do it. There are places where like taking 1 night bookings adds more work and more hassle than needed.
Yeah.
So it's totally in your control as a customer to say whether you want it or not. Or sometimes some people also say, even if it's a 2 night booking, bump up the rates by 50% so that I get equivalent of a 3 night booking in terms of revenue.
Yeah.
But with a 2 night booking. And yeah. All of this only when there's a gap. We're not, it doesn't like make it 1 night when there is no need to take a 1 night booking.
Yeah. I just had one last night come in and it was for far out. It was like, it might have been in July. And I was like, why did I get a 1 night book? I can't believe, but his calendar was already booked and it had a 1 night cap.
God,
I was like, yeah, I was like thinking in my head, like, that can't be right. But yeah, I was spot on for sure. I was going to ask, you know, I see owners, not owners necessarily, but like if you go like, I go in incognito mode a lot on Airbnb because I want to see where my houses are ranking and stuff. And you'll see properties that just set a price. You know they're not using dynamic pricing. Right. And let's say it's 250. They'll go 250
all year,
30 days straight. Yeah. And my guess is that they're never kind of going back on Airbnb. One of the things that I think is really important is the fact that you guys update your prices every day. Yeah, every day, right?
But yeah, every day by default, unless you log in and want to make a change. Then
yeah. So why is that important?
For a couple of reasons. So I mentioned how like the original problem you wanted to solve or we wanted to solve was like, hey, in Chicago, what's high season? What's low season? Like, should we set the same? Like at that time, people were setting the same rate all year. Now, the first step in some ways when you want to manage rates a little better is then say, hey, in high season, I'm going to set 400. In low season, I'm going to set 150 as an example, right? There's more to it than that, though, because then you can say, well, weekends in high season can be higher and weekdays in low season could be lower. And then there's one step further, which talks about sort of lead time, like how far out are you? So, and this is what something most people understand. Like if you have 6 months left in summer for a date in summer and it's not booked, you're not worried about it. You'll keep your rates, right? And say, sure, let's try to get booked at that rate. But if it's a week out and it's still not booked, depending on your market, if your market gets a lot of last minute bookings, then sure, you might not be worried. And you can see all of this. Like you can see in your market, do a lot of last minute bookings come or not in Price Labs. But if you see that, hey, most of my bookings in my market happen like 2 weeks to 2 months out in that window. And now I'm a week out and this weekend has not booked. You're not going to keep the rate at 400. You should say, okay, let's try to, whatever few bookings are left, let's make sure that my property is one of those that are booked. That doesn't mean dropping the rates through the floor at like, you know, something crazy low. But it does mean being a little more nimble about like saying, okay, let's reduce the rate a little bit and see what happens. So what we do is our last minute discounts, usually you of course can set a floor to say never go below this rate. And you can set a floor for each season to say in this season, never go below this rate. But then you can say, if it is 30 days out, don't offer a discount. Or if it's 15 days out, don't offer a discount. And every day it gets closer, keep adding a 1% discount. So the closer it is, the more the discount is. So then it becomes important to every day go and update these rates so that every future date has sort of the most current rates possible. What we also do is I don't know if you use those, but something called occupancy-based adjustments, which essentially if they look at your property and say, if it is very booked, we are going to automatically bump the rates up a little. And if it is not booked, automatically bring the rates down. So we look at essentially the default settings would look at the next 15 days and say, hey, in the next 15 days, for whatever reason, you're not booked. And so only for the next 15 days, it'll say, let's drop the rates a little and see if it gets a booking. And if it does get a booking, then we'll push those rates back up. So they are like very dynamic and smart in that way, that they push rates up and down like every day based on what has come in.
I don't know if I'm doing that. And now I wrote that down because I'm like, I need to be doing that.
If you're not doing that, then our system automatically does a default setting for you.
Okay.
You can go in and fine tune and customize it if you want something very specific. But if you don't turn it on, then we do it by default. Yeah.
How important is it to set the low price? Is that just like what a user would want? Like they don't want to go below 150? Or do you think that's important to put something there?
I think yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So as somebody who's in the area who knows the home really well, you kind of have a sense of what a normal rate, what even the lowest rate in low season for this property should be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons not to go too low, right? Like you also want to make sure that it's not getting booked by like school kids wanting to have a party. Like yeah. So you don't want to, you don't want to go too far low. You also like depending on whether you're managing your own home or an owner's home, if you're a property manager, you might have a contract with the owner to say, don't sell my home below this price, right? Yeah. And then there are also like, and I'm talking about like one, there's a place where you can set, this is my minimum price, but you can also set a seasonal minimum price to say, if you are a savvy sort of user or customer or somebody who knows their area really well and knows your property really well, you can go and say, okay, I actually know that in summer, my property shouldn't sell below 200. So I'm going to set a seasonal minimum of 200, whereas my minimum price in other seasons could be 100, right? Now, when it, so I generally say it's very important because you can set up all these rules in Price Labs to like, you know, do last minute discounting or when there's midweek, if it's completely not booked, try to lower the rates. You're sort of giving the algorithm boundaries to say, don't go below this ever. Like you want to have that boundary. You want to have that sort of safety out there.
Yeah.
Now, while setting this, when you review prices, and Peter, you might have seen the calendar. I mean, you probably see the calendar every day almost, right? There is a tab next to it, which says listing neighborhood data, where we show your rates and we show them compared to the market rates, which is super helpful because it, and you can select the number of bedrooms and all that, right? So you might have an opinion of your property and say, hey, I'm never going below 200. And you might look at the area and say, okay, looks like occupancy right now in low season, and this is probably not low season for you, but in Chicago, for example, I can see that right now I'm hitting my floor price, like my floor for my property might be 200 and the occupancy is 20%. And you're like, then you have to make a call like, okay, should I go lower? Are others charging lower? If they are, then it's likely that they'll, if only 20% occupancy is there, then it's likely that somebody else is getting booked if my rates are too high. So then you ask yourself, like, is 200, are you willing to go below 200 just for the next 2 months while bookings are really low and things like that?
Yeah. I want to say to our listeners that we're talking, and it sounds kind of complicated if you don't understand Price Labs, but I will just say this, it's so user-friendly and they have so many videos there to kind of guide you along the way. So if you're like, oh my God, this just sounds like a ton of work, believe me, it's not. You can be up and running within 24 hours and you can really dial it in, you know, really pretty quick. And then you can make these little adjustments to your property and to your settings on Price Labs that just make you get better and better at, you know, maximizing occupancy and nightly rate. So I know we're talking about some kind of complicated subject matters and I don't want people to be like, oh my God, this sounds impossible. It's really not. It's the most user-friendly software that I've used for pricing for sure.
Yes. Sorry, I forgot the audience for this and I went deep into it with you.
Yeah, you're going deep and I love it. I'm like so excited about it, but like, I'm like, all right, if I've never tried pricing before,
This we have like every Wednesday we have training webinars, like 101 webinars, and Thursdays 201. So we have like a lot of resources to help new users figure out how this works. And we have plenty of users who never talk to us and just get started. And
So one of the things I'm thinking about as you're talking, and it's about occupancy. Mm-hmm. It's about filling your calendar,
right?
And kind of like, you know, I have some owners that if we're not starting to book March right now, they're like panic, you know. Yeah. But like in my mind, sometimes I feel like I don't want to really, there's times I don't want to fill that fast.
Right.
You know, because just use Airbnb as the platform. If you do a search on them for, let's say, this weekend coming up, well, obviously the only thing left it's a very small amount, right?
Right.
But if you do a search for 6 months out, you're going to have thousands of listings up here. So, getting booked far out, if can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what, I don't know if you guys think about that stuff, but.
We do. We actually, I don't know if you've seen the market dashboards. We have a section there about booking windows, and it tells you, like, in the last 30 days, what are people booking for? Like, are they booking for stays in 2 months' time, in 1 month's time, in 2 weeks' time? Like, and especially after COVID, in a lot of cities, especially, you would see that, like, it's heavily skewed towards, like, you know, people are booking for the next week.
Yeah.
If you are in a location that's truly a vacation destination, then people start booking summer and whatever, right? Much sooner. So you would see that it's a bit farther out. And then you can see, like, an occupancy chart for future dates for, like, all of Airbnb in your area, this, where you can actually see, okay, like, right now is 30% booked and March is actually just 15% booked. So you're like, most of the bookings for March haven't come in. So, like, there's no reason to panic as such,
yeah.
Which helps sort of, you know, assuage some of that fear of, like, you know, is it getting too late in getting booked? It really, the answer of, like, should I panic if March is not booked really depends on where you are. If you're in a city, absolutely not, because
yeah.
Cities are getting booked, like, last minute, really last minute.
I agree with what you're saying. Let me ask it. I have another question now. So, what was I going to say? It went out of my head. How much should a customer of Price Labs, like, should we, I know we talked about, like, tweaking the settings, but once you feel like you have it pretty dialed in, do you think it's once a week? Do you think it's once a day? You know, do you think it's just personal preference on checking it?
Yeah, it's very personal. My recommendation to folks without knowing anything about them. So if I don't know how many properties they have, how much time they've already put in, my standard thing is to say at least once a week. So at least once a week, but more is never harmful in some ways, right? So at least once a week, because you've dialed in a bunch of things, but there's still plenty of things that a human being can see that at least right now no algorithm can, like, and I'm trying to think of a good example of what it could be. Let's say, for example, Super Bowl is happening. Where is it happening?
Tampa Bay.
And for whatever reason, and so for the Super Bowl weekend, Tampa Bay is going to be, I'm talking as if this is a normal year. I'm assuming that there's going to be audiences.
Limited fans. Let's picture everyone, 60,000 fans. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tampa Bay is going to be full of people. All Airbnbs will be booked. But say for whatever odd reason, they had to shift the venue, right? One of the things that we look at is how the market is, right? So, we look at Tampa Bay right now and we'll say, hey, occupancy is higher than normal, way higher than normal. We should bump the rates up, right? And say for whatever reason, Super Bowl gets shifted, the venue gets shifted to some other city for whatever reason. What's going to happen is there will be a demand surge for wherever it moves to, and that will get picked up, like that demand surge by us, and we'll start increasing prices. But for Tampa Bay, there will be people who don't cancel their reservations right away for whatever reason. And to us, that will, the occupancy will still look like, hey, it's higher than normal. Maybe something is happening. Whereas as a human being, you know that something was happening. It's not happening anymore. That spike should not be there.
Gotcha.
Right? So, like, there are these, you can call them outlier events in some ways, where you want to go in and, you know, once in a while, this is after you've dialed in, right? Like the first time you start using it, of course, you should be paying a lot of attention to it because you know your property way better than anybody else does.
Yeah.
So we might say, okay, on average, this property should charge $350 a night, and then we'll apply our fluctuations based on seasonality and everything else there.
Yeah.
Whereas you might come in and say, hey, for a normal three bedroom, yes, $350 would make sense. But my three bedroom has a hot tub. It has this, and it's right by the ski slopes. In that case, you would say, hey, maybe this should be $500 a night. And you know that better than anybody else can. So, and then you know what kind of seasonal fluctuations, especially if you've been in the area for a long time, just to like cross check, yeah, this makes sense, that makes sense. You set up your minimum stay based on what you need. And once you have that running, you should still like come in every once in a while to see, are bookings coming in? Maybe something has changed in the market and your property is not getting booked at all. When you do that check, you'll know that, okay, something is off. I set my base price to be $500, but I'm not getting bookings. Then you look at your neighborhood data and realize that, sure, your property might be stellar, but for some reason, nobody's booking it. And looks like all other rooms are set to 40% lower. All other homes are set to 40% lower. So you might then go and say, okay, let's adjust the rates a little bit and yeah. See if that has an effect.
Yeah, I mean, what I do, I go on every day still.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty savvy with it now, but yeah. I don't spend a lot of time on it, you know? So it's probably sometimes could be less than 5 minutes. I'm just scanning the dashboard.
Yeah. Because
the dashboard's so visually pleasing, and if that's the right way to say it, but just gives you everything you need based on colors. And if I see green, I'm good. If I see some yellow in there, then I'm like, all right, well, let's look at that. You know, like
right.
7 days, and oh, the owner's staying, or you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. But so yeah. And then there's sometimes I'll spend 10, but like there's some days where I can go on and within 2 minutes feel good about it. So
yeah,
the dashboard's great.
Yeah, so I was saying more like if you have one property, then once a week is probably.
Yeah,
you
know,
If you have many, then you have a lot to look at every day. Like every day, a lot is changing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I have two kind of follow up questions to that. So occupancy and pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at them as a very similar thing, or do you think one is more important, or is the goal just to max out both?
The goal is to maximize the revenue, which is the multiplication of occupancy and price.
Right.
Because I mean, if you only had one of those as the goal, you could set the prices really low and always be booked, or you could set the prices really high and never be booked. In both the cases, you'll make less revenue than if you found the right balance. And that right balance differs by season, by day of week, by all kinds of things, right? We generally try to focus more on the revenue part of it. Now, there are reasons to focus on one or the other in cases where your goal contains something other than revenue. So, for example, maybe the revenue is maximized when you are, for your property, for your area, when you're 80% booked at a price of, to make it simple, I'll say, at a price of $100 a night on average, right? And if you do that, then on average per day, you're making $80.
Yeah. Right?
Now you could increase the price from 100 to 200 and be booked instead of 80%, be booked at 30%. But now instead of making on average $80 a night, you're making $60 a night.
Right.
But you have way fewer stays.
Right.
So in some ways, a lot lesser wear and tear. And if it's a property where you care a lot about wear and tear, you might say, hey, if my revenue per night only drops by whatever, 25 only, I'm saying only, but if it only drops by 25% and I don't care about it as much, but I have way fewer stays, then I'm okay with that, right?
Yeah.
So there are cases where you might say, hey, I'll take slightly lesser revenue as long as it results in a lot fewer stays, because that reduces hassle for all kinds for me, right?
Yeah.
But generally, from what we have seen for most people, like the revenue is the main thing, and the hassle, you can put a cost on it, right? The hassle is cleaning costs, for example, and you can put a cleaning cost and say, sure, for every stay that happens, I don't, it's not my hassle, somebody else is doing the cleaning, for example, and yeah. I'm paying them, right? But when it comes to wear and tear, like that could be a very personal decision of to say, yeah, like I don't want too many people staying at my home. I want to make enough to cover my mortgage, and that's good enough for me. If that's your philosophy, then you can do that. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I kind of think about it with regards to pets. Mm-hmm. So if you do a random search on Airbnb, mm-hmm. and you don't, and you just put no filters in, right? It has like X amount of properties up here.
Yeah.
You put Superhost in, it drops that number of properties down. You put pets in there, you know, the properties that allow pets, and it drops it significantly. So my mindset's always been, and I'm not, yeah. I have owners that do allow pets, I have owners that don't. But my mindset, and I allow them in my two that I own personally, and I allow them because if I'm going to increase my occupancy by X percent,
right.
Well, then any damage done by a dog, yeah. I can afford, you know, I know that in my head, head, you know, yeah. So I've heard someone say, hey, you know, you're at 95% occupancy, your prices must be too low. But that's not necessarily true.
Right. Yeah.
Possibly true.
So it's possibly true. It also depends on, so like, say you didn't take any last minute bookings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or those shorter bookings, your occupancy, and I'm making this up, your occupancy might turn out to be 80%, right?
Yeah.
You're filling up the remaining 15% extra to get to 95% by taking those orphan nights, by doing last minute discounts. That doesn't mean that the prices for those nights were always cheap. They might have been high when the dates were far out. But now that they're last minute, you're like, hey, if nobody booked, you can either say, I'm happy with 80%, or you can say, well, you can either let it go unbooked, or you can lower slightly and get the most out of that as well. So,
yeah.
So it depends on, like, if you're getting 95% booked 3 months out, then that's like a clear cut indication that you're very cheap, right? Yeah. But if that's not the case, if you are steadily getting towards 95% till sort of the last day, not the last day, but like till last minute,
yeah.
Then it sort of tells you that, yeah, your prices were fine. You got that much occupancy far out, and then you've been incrementally getting more by lowering the rates slightly and things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. We recently brought on a new property, and it's it actually hasn't had its first day yet. It's happening next week. So I don't know if you can answer this exact, but I have this. So it's a nice home. Okay. So most of our homes up here, not that they're not nice, they are nice, but this one's like a level above anything okay. we've kind of managed. It's
yeah.
huge, you know, 3,800 square feet, you know,
okay.
beautiful game room with like a pinball machine and a 6,000 game console, and then they have a movie theater with leather chairs that are elevated, 90 inch TV, yeah, you know what I'm saying, marble countertops,
and I see this.
And I sold the property to them, so I know what they paid for it.
Yeah.
So my fear mm-hmm. is, what would you recommend as a strategy for that house? I know it's all, like you just said, it's about maximizing revenue, but like in my mind, I can't let it go below X amount of dollars a night, but maybe that's not the right mindset, right?
That's hard to answer. And yes, you kind of don't want to, like, it sounds like, I mean, if there's that big a TV, then there's potential for a lot of damage to that home. But generally, like, what you can do, like with any new property, there's some amount of trial and error, right? Like you can start out at your normal rates, maybe give a discount. And this is what we like to tell our users or customers, that for the next week or two, give a discount. And Airbnb, I think, now does that, like, first, like, new listing discount or whatever, right? What you want to do is to have three or four people stay and leave reviews so that now your property can properly start ranking. But now, how much of that discount can you give on a property that's that, you know, out of the ordinary? That's just a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping you'd have a nugget for me, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the good news is I actually didn't use Airbnb's discount. And okay. I normally do, like the first three bookings, 20% off, get up on the search ranks. I didn't do it. And we got booked within the first 12 hours, we had our first booking.
Got it.
And we're 80%+ occupied in February. But
got it.
I'm feeling good about the pricing, the way Price Labs has priced the property. I just was curious.
Got it. The thing about Airbnb's new listing discount is you don't want to get a new listing 20% discount booking for summer right now,
right?
Because you know that by then you'll have reviews and everything. It's not a new listing anymore. It should book at a normal rate. Why give like a discount in summer? Yeah.
Well, the good news for us is that it would never get that far. Well, you're right though. Someone could have. You're right. I didn't think about it. I don't remember if I blocked months off when I loaded it. You know,
right. That's
the point. Talk about, and we're already. I can't believe how fast this time has gone by. Top three reasons why, and we've touched on them, but like why someone would want it for their very first property. Why would they need and want Price Labs?
Well, yeah, one is sort of as somebody who's just getting into the short-term rentals, I'm assuming that's what you mean by like their first property, right?
Yeah.
You might not know all the dynamics of what drives demand. So like we didn't know that, okay, summer is high, but we had no idea that for the marathon, you can bump up rates by, you know, that much.
Yeah.
So when you don't do such things, because I mean, if you have been in hospitality and you know these things, like, you know, when the big events are, when the crowds come in, sure, that's great. But if you don't, then just knowing these things is hard. And so like, with Price Labs, for example, you'll be able to see market data. And even if you don't want to see market data, we'll automatically bump up rates for you for such things. Two is, even for one property, setting up some of these things is hard. Like changing rates on Airbnb, or if you use PMS, within the PMS, or changing minimum stays is not the easiest thing. And changing them on an ongoing basis can get like really painful. I mean, you might have the right way to do it, but going in day after day or week after week and doing it consistently becomes challenging. So like automating a bunch of these things, which sometimes don't require like high-tech science, but just need a computer to go and do it. That itself is beneficial. And three, it's also that mindset. Like, for example, if you're not focusing on pricing, for example, it can be very easy to be okay with whatever is happening. Like you said, Peter, like you log in every day just to keep a tab on like what's happening, right? And look at some market data. If it's not booking, what's happening? That, at least with customers who use us, we have seen like it also like, we put out a lot of training material and this and that. Like once you have gone through it, our hope is that you start appreciating pricing more and you want to look at it more carefully. Like just that part is in itself very important, to be able to look at your own metrics, to be able to look at your neighbor, like areas data, and then figure out, okay, looks like, although I felt like I'm great, doing great, but looks like I could be doing better.
Yeah.
And then that better is what we are trying to achieve in some ways.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm struck by, I've taken over a couple of houses that were managed by some of the bigger names that everyone probably have heard of, and I'm not going to say who they are. And, you know, what's interesting to me, because I don't know what I don't know. And what's interesting is the feedback that I get. And, you know, sometimes I'll get like, hey, I don't want to price my property above X because it my value scores go down. That's one of the things I heard. But then I had to talk through value with this owner because I feel like value is less about the price solely. It's more about the guest experience, you know? And some of these bigger companies out there, or even a single unit owner, it's all based on your communication skills with within the visit. And if you're not communicating with them, your value scores go down. It doesn't matter what your price is.
Yeah.
Agree with that?
Agree. I've heard the value score argument, and it makes sense at like, it depends on what that maximum price is. If you have it at $400 for a 3-bedroom property, then yes, you could increase. I mean, and assuming like it's a location which is very in demand. Whereas if there's a big event and like, you know, there are sometimes cases when you can say, hey, I'm the only property left. I could charge $2,000 and somebody would book it because literally there is no other choice.
Yeah.
That's when you go that high is when that value score thing starts coming into play, where you're like at $2,000 a night, unless you are getting to a mansion or something similar. Not even a mansion. Like I know properties in Price Labs that do $2,000 a night just normally. But if you're not one of those properties, if you're like dead in the middle of the city, one bedroom apartment and charging $2,000 a night, somebody might have to book it, and so they will book it, but you will get dinged on value score.
You're going to get dinged on value.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I found interesting, and it's a compliment to Price Labs, is that I've had these owners who've come to us and basically say, wow, you know, that January, I have this is like a 5-year, you know, property that's been in the system. I've never been booked that way before. I've never earned what I earned with you guys. And I take all the credit, you know.
But you should.
But
you fine-tuned the system to get there.
But honestly, it's validation to my core belief that Price Lab as a partner is you can't, it's so incredibly valuable to us. And I can't stress it enough. And it just, I knew it already, but it was like, you know, just to hear someone else say, wow, you know, you guys, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing a great job. You know, you guys should know that, you know, that's what's happening.
Thank you so much, Peter. Yeah, that's super kind of you.
That's the truth, you know, so it's easy to speak the truth. And I hope you guys just keep tweaking and getting better. I have a couple more questions and I'll let you go because it's 4:00. Any predictions for the year 2021? How do you see the industry now that, you know, Airbnb went public, all this stuff, COVID's hopefully going to get a handle on it. You think it's going to be good?
It depends on where you are, unfortunately. Like the start has been rough. I know US has still been okay, but I know a lot of other, like in Europe, for example, things are pretty bad. And same story within US, it's like, depends on where you are. If you're in a city, things are a bit tough right now. And yes, vaccinations are happening, but we don't know how quickly, whether they'll be like, everything will be ready and open by summer. But just like last year, like I feel like compared to last year, this year has to be better. And especially if you are in a true vacation destination, right? Like those were in demand last year, they will probably be in even more demand this year.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Anything that anything new you guys are working on inside the lab that you want to share?
Yeah, the biggest thing coming up, and I think should come out in late Feb, is we are working on something called comp sets. So in our market dashboard where we show market data, today we show it at an aggregate level, like in your area, you can choose an address and a radius and all that, or for your listings. But you're also adding the capability where you can say, I only want to look at rates that other properties who use dynamic pricing are setting, for example. Or I only want to see properties that are professionally managed and see how their trends are.
Oh, that's cool.
Instead of being like looking at everything together, you can break them up and see, okay, let's see what this segment is doing. Let's see that what that segment is doing. Which is something a lot of our like professional customers have asked for, like professional managers have asked for.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's a bunch of behind the scenes algorithms improvement that you're focusing on this year. So you might not see it as a feature or anything that shows up, but you should see the results of it.
Nice.
So yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you spending time with me. I appreciate everything you guys do for us. And is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd want to say? It might be nothing.
I think we covered a bunch of things. If anybody is looking to try Price Labs, I would say you should share your referral link with them. I don't know if you've done that yet, but yeah, should totally do that.
I will have that in our show notes.
Yeah.
And they get a $10 coupon or off whatever, right?
Yep. Anybody who signs up will get $10 off their first invoice.
Yeah. Okay.